And welcome to the 8th episode of Rebel Force Alliance, a podcast about Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes mobile game. I'm your host, as always, Edinar, and I'm joined by my wonderful co-host today, Coleman. How are you doing today, Coleman?
Well, I got the first introduction by you, so I'm doing pretty good.
See, it's, you know, I like to switch it up, even though
It makes me feel special.
I have some hatred towards you, which we'll get into later. But
you always have hatred toward me, though, so I'm over that now. I'm just going to accept it.
Just come to terms with it.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we have our other host joining us today, Dave. Dave, how are you doing today?
Hello. I am good, but, you know, you could say you switched it up, but I am always introduced second, at least the other times I've been on here.
Really?
I thought you were introduced first.
Great. Now next week I have to introduce Dave
you.
First.
He's definitely introduced you first each time, which I understand, saving the best for last. I appreciate it. So,
fellow light side player over there, I have to save the best for last. So
I have run dark in the past, though, so hey, I'm not, you know.
My first real arena team was Zol.
I've dabbled in both.
So, Coleman, we'll start with you. How is your week in Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes?
A little bit productive, but not very. I've been busy lately, so I've been working on Scarif Pathfinder for another tank as far as Rogue One squads, and then Palpatine's about one piece of gear away from gear 12, so I'm happy.
Nice. Dave, how's your week been?
Just farming gear. I wish it had been more exciting since the last time we talked. Just farming gear, figure out who to take to gear 12 next. Got really close to 6-6-ing the Phoenix challenge in the last territory battle, and I had them down to I had my my Ezra left with like a sliver of health, and one of their snowtroopers left with a sliver of health. I'm like, I got this. This is good. It's my turn. And he dodged,
Aww.
And then killed me. I did not 6-6 it. So that was probably the most frustrating moment of the last week. But yeah, just farming gear, trying to figure out who to take to gear 12. I'm not really sure who to do next. I had said the last podcast was definitely going to be Leia, but I feel like I don't know if she really needs it, and I'm actually leaning towards maybe working on gear 12-ing some of my resistance, or maybe even
because
I think he's great in multiple things. So we'll see, and I think we're going to be talking about something that might make gearing resistance further more worthwhile, but anyway, that was my week.
So, all right, my week has been very similar to yours, Dave. I've basically been farming gear. Gear. I'm working on a new arena team because I have been running resistance for the past 6 months, and they're just I notice myself slipping and slipping and slipping. So I'm working on getting my Commander Luke team up to gear 12. So I got R2 and Commander Luke up. I'm a couple pieces away from Raid Han to gear 12, and then after that I'll work on Troot and Baze, getting them up to gear 12. But I will admit something. I have Thrawn up to gear 11 now, and he is awesome.
He really
He's
is.
Great.
I'm using a dark side character, and I feel a little dirty. But he's just so good.
I know. He's great.
He's great. Yeah. He's really, really good. There's no doubting that. Definitely people use him. He's really, really good. And he had such a nice level of survivability because he can heal up some of your guys, especially if you have him on a CLS team. CLS can heal himself. He can heal up. It can be tough to deal with. Yeah.
Not to mention, if he casts that Grand Admiral's Command on top of CLS, he gets protection back and he goes again. Well, CLS goes again.
Yeah, which is obviously, you know, the more CLS goes, the more your team dies quickly. So
yeah, the more they just, you know, die. All right, so a little word of warning, we actually came into this show like being like, all right, what are we even going to talk about this week? Even last night, we're like, all right, what are we going to do? We're going to do some speculation, what we might see. And then today happened. And by today happened, we got another new character, another new legendary event. We got territory battle changes. We have content updates. So we have a fun, jam-packed show coming up today.
Yeah, I was worried that we weren't going to have anything to talk about. And CG grants us this.
And they're just big bundle of joy. So the first thing we're going to talk about is the new legendary character in the form of the little droid that could BB-8.
And I know you're not too happy about this event, so...
I'm not upset with the event. But we'll get to the event after we get to talk about BB-8 just a little bit. Because he's got a very interesting kit. I'll just go over it real quick. He has a basic attack that deals physical damage, inflicts tenacity down for 2 turns. If they already had tenacity down, he inflicts daze. That's a win-win in my book. I mean, tenacity down on a basic is rather huge.
Oh, absolutely. Tenacity down is almost everything now.
Yeah, and especially since he does have a counter. Like, he gets 80% counter chance. He's going to be putting daze on a lot of characters. Which, in turn, could be not a direct counter to Commander Luke teams, but could definitely put a hinder on Commander Luke teams.
Could.
I'm not saying he's like going to break Commander Luke, but it could be slightly less annoying. so that's just his basic. Right. And this is where it really starts to get weird and random, is when you start getting to his specials. So his specials, first special is covert data transfer, and that's where BB-8 and a random ally who doesn't have it gains secret intel unique buff for 3 turns. Then BB-8 gains 8% turn meter for each ally with secret intel. If all active allies are droids, BB-8 gains taunt for 1 turn. And then what secret intel is it gives plus 25% potency, and when another ally uses a special ability, they gain secret intel for 3 turns. Then the cooldown of Illuminated Destiny, the next special ability, is reduced by 1 for each ally with secret intel. That's a lot. And I'm going to explain how this really, really helps resistance teams in raids. Not in arenas, in raids. So if you pair him with a Finn lead, you're basically using special abilities left and right. So in the matter of 2 to 3 turns, your entire team will have secret intel on it. So they all have plus 25% potency, which is one of the best stats you can have for resistance. And then every time you use a special ability, you reduce the cooldown of BB-8's special ability by 5. Actually, 6, because with Finn's Zeta, every time a special is used, it reduces the cooldown of all resistant special abilities. Hmm. So you're going to be reducing the cooldown of his Illuminated Destiny crazy amounts with resistance. Yeah.
The more I read it, the more it seems like, okay, he's really meant to kind of buff up this whole resistance team.
And the biggest thing, honestly, is probably the 25% potency. Like, if you add 25, like, for instance, right now, my Poe has, I think, 58% potency without R2. And R2 adds, with his number cruncher Zeta, adds about 15%. Well, this is going to add 10 more percent. And heck, if I have R2 in there, I'm going to have 100% potency on, like, all my resistance characters, which is vital because you are basically relying on exposes.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and tenacity down on the main target, which reduces it, what, by 10%?
Your character's all, like, you're going to have the tenacity down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it only goes on the one.
Takes you, it, it takes you down to just the 15%. That's the baseline percent of chance to resist anything. Mm-hmm. So but you remove all of the tenacity. So there's basically just a 15% chance on any time he'll resist. It's much higher now typically for other characters. So they're not, I mean, it's just, I think, especially in phase two, because listen, they can already solo phase four with Rey, but now you don't need the Zeta Rey to get a daze, so you can use BB-8 in phase four to do basically the same thing that you were doing with her to solo that phase if you wanted to or you have the mods to. But in phase two, it's gonna eliminate a lot of the randomness. I mean, I'm sure, you know, I've had runs as high as, you know, 6.5 million and as low as 2.5 because you can't get any exposes going. So it'll eliminate some of that randomness and really just help you get more consistency from your runs in phase two. And it just seems like he's going to be like a lot of fun because I think you to go through what Illuminated Destiny actually does, because it is a monster of a move.
Yes. So we'll get into all that's his special ability for Secret Intel all revolves around his third special, which is the Illuminated Destiny, which PSA is a 70-turn cooldown. When I first saw that, I'm like, what the hell are they thinking? So, but it's a 70-turn cooldown, and it dispels all debuffs on all allies and expose on all enemies for 2 turns. All allies gain 80% turn meter, gain advantage, crit chance up, crit damage up, speed up, offense up for 4 turns. Droid and resistance allies recover 20% protection. This ability starts on cooldown and can't be evaded. Another huge one. And then whenever a droid ally scores a critical hit, reduce the cooldown of this ability by 1. And they added that in there because otherwise there was no way you could ever really use this with droids. Because you just aren't using specials as much as resistance.
No, nowhere near.
So this basically makes your team just a massive killing machine.
Yeah, and something else I kind of noticed is that the more I thought about it, isn't he the first character that grants crit damage up to all characters? Like, I know like Biggs and Radahn. Radahn will apply crit damage up to himself, and Biggs will apply crit damage up to a random ally. But nothing's been all ally crit damage up before.
Oh God, I don't know. Probably. I can't think of one off the top of my head.
What does Jawa Engineer do?
Is that crit chance?
I think, yeah. I think it's
does crit Engineer just give him the crit chance?
Yeah, I think it's crit chance. And I think for droid allies, it's speed, if I remember right. But, yeah, I don't remember any characters.
It's just crit chance up. So, yeah,
yeah, this is...
I mean, I guess old Ben does when he dies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I forgot about when old Ben...
I think he gives, like, when old Ben dies, he gives a bunch of buffs. But, I mean, then again, this move is incredible, obviously, right? Because it's like, oh, here's every good buff that exists. But the other thing, too, is that it's 70 cooldown, like, it shocks you when you... Like, it's got a pretty hefty ticket price, right? You look at that and you're like, what's he going to use this? Never. But really, if you get, like you said, Ednar, when you get into, like, the mechanics of the resistance team and the cooldown on damage on exposes, and then the fact that every time they use a special and they use a lot of specials, it's going to reduce the cooldown by 5, they're going to have this buff up the entire time. Once it goes, there might be a turn, maybe two, where they don't in between each one, but this is going to be live for pretty much the entire run that you do in an HAAT, and that's where you're just going to see this team do incredible, massive amounts of damage. And the speed up is great because, you know, you don't have to, like, overly mob them for speed, because you'd really typically don't anyway, because you know you're going to get so much turn meter from the exposes, so it's just going to help you if you do get any of those resists to make sure your characters go faster. So it's It really seems like it's going to be a lot of fun to try to mess around with BB-8 and see what he could do with resistance, because it looks like it might just be lead to some crazy, crazy numbers in the HAAT raid.
Yeah. Now, like we were talking before, I've been looking up Old Ben, his If You Strike Me Down ability. All it grants is offense up and speed up for 2 turns now.
Oh, so that's nothing compared to what BB-8 does.
No, but the main thing was I was looking for the crit damage, trying to see if anyone else granted it.
Now,
just like BB-8 does.
Now, this ability right here, as awesome as it is, and as quick as you can get that cooldown down from 70 with the resistance team, it's still not quick enough for Arena.
No. Arena...
No.
It's just not. You could maybe, at best, get it by turn 6 or 7. At best.
Well, by then
you've lost. Yeah. By then you've lost or won. But by then it's game over. But I mean, even for territory battles, because this it's gonna continue through phases. Imagine using your resistance team every time, and then as soon as phase 6 starts, you hit that. Game over.
Yeah.
Like,
no, absolutely.
They're not going to be able to do a thing.
Not that resistance was struggling much anyway, but
no.
But yeah, no. It'll be good in Galactic War, I think, for some people too, because you can it'll obviously carry over between nodes in Galactic War, and when you get to some of those like monstrous CLS teams that sometimes people have been struggling with recently, you know, you can then go in and have BB-8, you know, pop this move at the very beginning, and then you can just, you know, slay the other team regardless of who they have.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. It will be one other huge advantage I think this BB-8 will give us is being able to use R2 in other squads.
Oh, I thought you were going a different way with that.
Oh, where do you think I was going with it?
Oh, I thought you were going to say this opens the way for Darkseid BB-8 to come in.
No.
You know the new one that's going to be in the new movie.
No, there's
gonna,
no...
That's just going to outshine BB-8 in every single way.
So. No, they won't have a Darkseid BB-8 until they get skins that you can change in the game.
Yeah, but then there comes the problem of Han.
Yeah, true. But, all right. So, being able to use R2 in other events in territory battles because you're replacing him with BB-8 is going to be key. Now, when you're looking at heroic AAT, I honestly think it's your best phases. You're going to be getting rid of probably Rey and R2. And you're going to be putting in Resistance Pilot and BB-8 to go with Trooper Finn Poe. I don't think this does...
Yeah, because you need that. You need that other expose from
and it's pilot, and it's his spe- sure. And it's his special, which reduces the cooldown by 6.
Mm-hmm.
So you need that. Now I don't think BB-8 mm-hmm. is going to make droids good at all. I don't think it does anything.
I think it depends. I think it could certainly make them better in the raid. I mean, if you remember when HAT first launched, like, droids were the team in phase 2, and because everyone had them really at that point, and they could do, you know, well over a million damage, up to like a little over 2 million if you had like crazy good mods and just figured out the right cadence of moves and got some good RNG, but I think he'll help them do more damage there, for sure, but it's they're not going to be viable in Arena or anything until there's some, you know, crazy rework that helps them become so. You know, I'm looking at you, General Grievous. But I think he will help them be a little bit better. And for anyone that has droids, it might just be another fun team you can potentially try to use. But I do think, and we can maybe talk about this after we go through the rest of his moves, but I do think that... this probably is setting up more droid reworks or droid characters that maybe at some point you can create a team that'll be, you know, viable in Arena again. You know, obviously still right now that's not the case, but, you know, we've long talked about a Grievous rework, and I'm there are other droids that are probably be introduced based on from the new movie, so maybe somewhere in there's an opportunity to create a team in the coming months, and BB-8 would probably be a key part of that.
Okay, I'll go through his other two uniques here real quick, just to finish it up. But he has a unique called Roll with the Punches, and he has an 80% counter chance. And when BB-8 attacks out of turn, he calls a random resistance ally to assist. Yes, because that's what resistance needed more. More attacks on exposed characters. That's exactly what they needed. So you got that. That's an Omega ability, though. So his first three abilities are all Omegas. Sorry, the two uniques are both Zeta abilities. So the Roll with the Punches is the Zeta gives him the random resistance ally assists.
Okay.
And then
that's fair enough.
Yeah, and then his other unique is when BB-8 takes damage, he has a 50% chance to gain foresight for two turns. At the start of each encounter, if BB-8 is active, droid allies gain 8% turn meter for each active droid ally. When BB-8 evades, droid allies recover 8% health and protection. And the Zeta on that is the 8% health and protection.
Okay, so I can definitely see like a droid team makeup, unless they introduce some new droids that I'm not aware of. Possibly, obviously, BB-8, R2-D2, B2... HK-47 and IG-88.
So you're thinking you don't run Jawa Engineer?
Not really.
You would need to with that turn meter.
Yeah. With that turn meter and all the effects from R2-D2.
With the turn meter that he gets, yeah, that's what they're trying to do here, is they're trying to eliminate the need to run Engineer at all with droids, so you can build an entire droid team, because they're all going to get, all the droids will get up from R2 as well, so...
Yeah.
They're building this. I mean, it's obvious. They're going to make droids relevant again. There's probably a major missing piece that we haven't thought of yet, whether it's, Grievous getting its data, or maybe HK gets a rework.
Or maybe Imperial Scout droid to come in.
Shut up.
It could be anything, right?
Shut up, Coleman.
It could be anything.
You knew it was coming. Maybe, I'm sorry.
Maybe we can get those droids from the Territory battles, the ones that put target lock on it.
But, the Imperial Scout droid.
That's what we need. We need those. Yeah, we need Scout droids.
Okay, so I'm going over this because I actually just saw this he's up on swgoh.gg. Just some quick stats on him. He's got a base 162 speed. So little bugger's fast.
Mm-hmm.
He is... a freaking, he does not have health.
he's that's his Achilles.
He has less health than Princess Leia.
Hmm.
And less protection. Oh god, he has like no protection. Oh, sorry, that's max ability. Let's see what his protection is. Because it can't be good.
I mean, 24,000 health isn't that bad.
All right, this has to be a typo. It says
looking at less than a Palpatine, so.
All right, so according to this, and this has to be a typo, his protection is zero.
Yeah, that's not right.
It doesn't. Yeah, I'm looking right now, and it doesn't look like the protection's coming up. But he's got 24,000 health. I guess we'll find out what his protection is.
But maybe if you look at the character strategy GIF. Look at his protection. It's non-existent.
Yeah, it looks like the protection is coming from mods.
So, maybe that's not wrong. Maybe he has zero protection.
It could be like an early build, maybe not the final build of the character. I don't know. They're weird sometimes with the way that they do. I doubt he's got zero protection, but I guess... No, I mean... We don't know, right?
Maybe because Poe's always taunting, pretty much. They're not expecting him to get hit. And with foresight.
But
maybe?
I don't know. but he taunts, though. That's the problem. If you put him with droids, he taunts. So he can't have no health. Or, I mean, he can't have no...
Yeah, it's probably something wonky.
I bet he's decent.
But I do have good news.
Probably like chopper-esque from a protection and health standpoint, I would guess.
I do
even R2 and Chopper and him, like they're all kind of around the same like mid-20s health, mid-20s protection, and I bet that's where I'll end up.
Well, it's kind of weird because in the GIF, if you watch, BB-8 is gear 11.
Good lord. Okay. One other thing, before we move on from BB-8, I'm just going to point out his gearing, not bad at all. Surprisingly easy.
Okay, how many stun cuffs is he going to cost me?
I'm looking at one.
You are wrong. I said cost me, so zero.
You're gearing them up. I'm looking at two stun guns, one carbonti, one stun cuff, a droid collar. Like, this is not bad at all.
Yeah, two stun guns. It looks like, two stun guns, two carbonis. Obviously, the stun guns are more carbonis, but, 200 carbonis is... not that bad.
That's reasonable.
I mean, to get him from 9 to 10, you need a stun gun, of the annoying pieces to get, a stun gun, a carbonti, and a security scanner from 9 to 10. That's the only, semi-annoying pieces. Mm. So,
this is not bad at all. I'm sorry. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the protection thing.
It's got to be a bug. I mean, it has to.
They just must not know, and it must not be clear in the game files or whatever when they data mined it. So I'm sure we'll find out. He's got protection, even if it's not a lot. As long as it's in the high teens or low 20s, it's enough to make him, survive enough in the raid for sure. And I think his arena viability is probably not going to happen for a little while. If it does happen, it'll probably be more droids than resistance, just because. We all know how resistance perform on defense typically, but anyway.
Yep. All right, so we're going to move on. We're going to talk about how you can get BB-8. So BB-8 is a legendary event. That means you can, day one, 7-star BB-8 if you have First Order. And First Order is notorious for being one of the worst grinds in the game for a full team. Because two of their characters are hard node only farms,
and they are not fun hard nodes either.
Yeah, so you have to use First Order to do it. It starts on September 28th. It doesn't say how long it goes, but usually it's 7 days. And to help with getting First Order, starting the 22nd through the 25th, it will be double drops for First Order. Nodes, so Kylo and Cantina, and then First Order TIE Pilot and Stormtrooper in Light and Dark Side hard nodes. I mean, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get it because I'm nowhere near First Order. It sucks, but it's how legendary events go.
Yeah.
Most of the time, you don't 7-star legendary event on the first go route unless you start dropping some serious cash.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, it's kind of fair with First Order, in my opinion, because this is BB-8, and the way Legendary events have been going ever since Palpatine came out is that you need the opposite faction of what they are in order to acquire them. I think Grandmaster Yoda is the only Legendary event to where it's like, okay, you need Jedi to get a Jedi. Everyone else has been like, oh, Palpatine's an Imperial, you need Rebels. Yada yada, or R2, you need Empire. Thrawn, you need Phoenix Squad. So it's kind of their opposites.
Yep. And Luke was not a legendary event, if you're going to say that. That's its own whole ordeal.
Yeah, that's totally different.
Now, on top of the double drops, you can buy... They introduced two new packs, which they do with every legendary event. It's the $80 pack, where you get 80 shards of each one of the First Order. plus 3 million credits, training droids, ability materials, stuff like that. And then also the Faction Pass one, which is the 699 crystal lottery ticket, 10 to 330 character shards.
Now, so, on a side note, I do want to say I do like the artwork for these First Order packs.
God, I haven't even looked at it.
The artwork's it's pretty good, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, it is pretty good. Now, Dave, do you have First Order?
I actually have them. So I have them really well geared. It's going to be close, though, because I did stop farming, and this is my own fault. I had made a conscious effort that I was going to work on First Order. I had been farming First Order Stormtrooper, and I stopped because I had to shift to Soldier for territory battles. So I only would do two at a time, and I had been doing Short Trooper forever. So I just, instead of doing First Order Stormtrooper and Short Trooper, I just switched to Short Trooper and Hoth Rebel Soldier. So I'm at 27 of 85 on First Order Stormtrooper. It's doable with the double drops. If I refresh, I need to average like 11 shards a day, assuming we have 8 days, and then assuming it lasts for a week. So I should get there without having to buy the pack, which I would like to not have to do. Just for BBA. But the thing is my gear levels are good. Like, I have Kylo Zated in it, gear 11. I have First Order TIE Pilot at gear 11, and Phasmin First Order Officer, both gear 10. So, So I'm fine with the gear levels, even if I didn't touch First Order Stormtrooper, who's, I think, just still at gear 7. But I just have to worry about getting the shards. But I think I'll get there, so I am hopeful to have a BB-8. And I guess now, for the next week or two, I'll just have to start saving his gear.
Yeah.
Now, my opinion for with these double drops is, if you don't want to buy the packs, the cheaper route is definitely refresh those hard notes up to 3 or 4 times a day, where that's a whole lot less. That's a whole lot less expensive than crystals or what other method you use. And with double drops, you're going to get probably 11, 15 shards a day easily.
Oh,
yeah. He's got three nodes. And now that you can do it 5 times a day, I mean, if you refresh each one to say, like you said, a couple times to 15,
well,
you're going to be doing, 45 sims a day on his hard node.
Yeah.
And that's double drops, which you got to think is probably a 30% drop rate, something around there. So,
a whole lot better to get those two shards instead of just one.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, if you spend 300 crystals a day, you're going to run minimum 30 times just for first order short trooper. Like, spend the 150 on the refreshes, 150 probably on energy, and you're going to get 10 to 15 shards of him a day. And that's, minimum.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's doable. I'm so far back. It's not doable. I don't have First Order Stormtrooper unlocked. I have First Order Pilot at 3 stars, 4 stars maybe. First Order Officer, I think I have at 4 or 5 stars. Like, it's just not possible for me without dropping some serious cash, which I'm not gonna do.
Right. Yeah. Maybe I'll make a Resistance Squad just for you. I don't know.
I hate you.
Show good faith.
That would be the ultimate spite.
It would be.
Well, I don't think I ever sent you my resistance looks like, Dave.
I really hate it. He sent that to me. So, all right, today he sent me a picture of his resistance team, and all gear. What gear are they all?
Hang on. Let me pull them up real fast. It won't take but 2 seconds. But I know I have R2 at gear 11, so he's considered resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Poe is gear 11 with a 270 speed. I forget why it did that. Rey is gear 10, Finn's gear 8, and Pilot and Trooper are both gear 7. But they're all 7-star, and now they're all level 85.
Yeah. So you have like 120 speed on Poe.
Yeah.
And you didn't even realize it.
I forgot all about it.
Yeah. That's why I hate you. So, all
yeah. right. Yeah, you gotta put those mods on somebody you use.
I originally I was gonna try the Resistance Squad. And I was gonna like gear him up and see how it worked. And then I just forgot about it because I think somebody else shiny came out. I think Thrawn was coming at the time, and we needed Phoenix. So I was like, divert all attention to Phoenix.
No, that happened to me too. It was it's weird because that was the exact time I was gearing Resistance too. When I had to shift to Phoenix for a little bit, and I had to wait till after Thrawn dropped, and I used a bunch of gear on Thrawn to finish them. But
yeah, I forgot all about it. So I think that's where it came from.
So okay, we are going to move on past BB-8 and all things BB-8.
Yeah,
because we still have a crap ton to talk about.
Yes,
so,
we do. But BB-8's huge. So.
BB-8 is huge, but
well, he's little, but.
Everyone loves BB-8, let's face it.
Yeah, everyone loves BB-8, but he's the third best droid.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Chopper 1, R2-D2, oh yeah, and
see,
then
I have a different
BB-8.
Order. I have a different order. So R2-D2
I think everybody
first.
Has a different order. I don't think anyone puts Chopper 1.
Oh, no. Come on, Chopper's the man.
I gotta go R2, B2, and then BB-8.
Yeah, no. You're done.
Because let's just face it, B2 is still a meta breaker.
Yeah. All right, you're done. You're done. If I could mute you right now, I would. But,
I know you would.
Okay, so I'm we're going to move on to the changes to the Shard Shop. Shard Shop and Fleet Arena Store. These are very welcome changes, at least from my point of view. So the Shard Shop is no longer going to be offering character shards other than just one spot for Grievous instead of the three. Instead, they're just going to be throwing in gear. And they're going to increase the different types of gear that you can get and how many are in there. So, for instance, like, today I actually just bought stun cuffs. I think I bought, like, 8 stun cuffs for, like, 160 Shard Shop currency.
Yeah. It's 170 for 6.
170 for 6. So this will definitely help out with the gear grind because it's also not refreshing every 24 hours. They're doing it every 6 hours, kind of like everything else. So it's going to be another place for you to get gear.
And the refreshes are cheap. You can do 225 crystal refreshes. So I know it's been an issue right now with people is that you've got a lot of characters to farm that are hard node only, especially now people are going to be trying to do Hoth Rebel Soldier, people are going to be trying to do First Order TIE Pilot, people are going to try to be First Order Stormtrooper. And what this gives you an option is everybody's got, most people have at least some Shard Shop currency just through the nature of the way the game works, and you're going to accumulate shards for characters you don't have just naturally through stuff. And the cost is not bad. Like, it's surprisingly low.
Yeah.
I was very surprised by how low it is. And this gives you the ability to still farm some gear if you're using a lot of your energy for hard node characters, which I think a lot of us will be over the next couple of weeks. So that's a good thing. And you said you bought some cuffs. I refreshed twice and bought guns both times. And that's, you know, you're talking, 50 crystals for 12 guns? That's way cheaper than your 50 crystal energy refresh that will net you zero. So I'm pretty pleased about it. And I'm not surprised because CG had said they were going to do something like this and give us other avenues to be able to help, you know, chip away at the gear grind, which we all know is just, like, brutal. But I didn't think it would be like this. Nice, like it's pretty sweet. There's a good amount of gear there, and there's the gear 12 gear too. Is there not the ones we need at gear 12, but the stuff you need to get to it? The new pieces they introduced are in there too for a relatively reasonable cost. So I think this change is awesome.
I love it.
And a lot of people, I think, well, at least a handful from what I've seen, they're worried that our shard, I guess, exchange for shard shop currency from actual character shards is going to drop. It's not dropping. Mm-mm. It's the same.
Nope. No, I just I turned some in earlier for, I think Galactic War, and it was the same. So yeah.
Now, reversely to that, and this is one where I actually have heard the most backlash for, is in the Fleet Arena store, they've taken all the gear out of there. I've actually heard a lot of backlash from, like, newer players who were using Fleet currency to buy gear. Because they don't have enough characters to be generating Shard Shop currency like the three of us will. So, like, for a newer player, you just took out an avenue of to get gear.
Yeah. I would argue that the newer players shouldn't be getting gear from there, though. They should probably be gearing up or farming ships and characters.
They should, in theory, But I'm just saying, like, that's the one downfall to them taking gear out of the Fleet Arena. I have never bought gear out of there. I buy ships and ships and ships, and then occasionally a Zeta.
Yeah. Right, and that's something that I kind of felt when you said that, is that a lot of newer players, they should be buying ships, but at the same time, they should be setting aside like a savings plan or Fleet Arena currency for when they can start unlocking Zetas, because they are game-changing.
Yeah. Yep.
So, and then they added three new achievements into the game. One where if you get a 7-star Han Solo, you get 10 TIE Advanced Shards. You get a 7-star Kenobi, you get 10 TIE Advanced Shards. And then if you complete the BB-8 event, you get 50 crystals, 500k credits, and 5 Vader Shards. You think they could change something other than Darth Vader Shards? Because he's not that hard to get anymore.
I mean, I would like to see some Clone Wars Chewbacca shards, or maybe like Director Krennic shards, something like that.
Screw that. You know the one number one character we all need? Give me some GD Lobot shards.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
I was happy with the TIE Advanced shards, though. Like,
That was awesome.
I'll take a 20 TIE Advanced shards on login. I don't have them done. I don't have the TIE Advanced done yet. I'm now very close. I think I'm like 24 shards away. But that, you know, it's that was nice. That was a nice surprise today. Didn't expect I'd get all that, so I'll take it.
Yeah. So, okay, so that's gonna do it for those changes. Now we're gonna get into the territory battle changes, which, in my opinion, after we go through all this, they knocked out of the park.
Absolutely. I got to agree with you there. I read it for the first time. And whoa.
Can you go back? What did you just say?
I agree with you. Like, I looked at it.
All right. I just had to point that out.
I believe you said you knocked it out of the park. That's even beyond an agreement. You know, he thinks you did an outstanding job.
Yeah. I mean, I really like these changes to them, so they addressed my biggest concerns, so I'm happy with it.
Yeah. So, all right, we'll go through it a little bit. So the first thing they talk about is the timing and reward cadence. So essentially, the 24 hours is here to stay for a while instead of going back to 12 hours. Thank God. Because if they would have gone to 12 hours, I would have had to quit my full-time job.
We all
just to run everything. Territory battles and then stress drink from half my guild not listening to me.
Oh, poor Dathomir.
Yes. So it's back to 24 hours. It's awesome. But they went a step further. So they're alternating starting on Mondays and Thursdays.
Okay.
So it gives, since it's going to be a 6-day event, by alternating Monday and Thursdays, it gives you a 4 or 5 day break in between where the generals or the person in charge has time to put the game down and not yell at people.
Yeah. Get some sleep. Talk to your loved ones. And, very important.
Apologize to your loved ones. You know,
apologize big time
for all the wives. Oh, there needs to be a support group for all the wives of
Support group for generals in territory battles. All right.
Support group for Swag.
Yeah.
Wives of Swag.
I mean, I see nothing wrong with this. I like doing the Monday through Thursday schedule thing.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's good.
So, nothing wrong with this. The next thing is that change also means the cadence of earning final rewards is spread out to every 10 to 11 days, 6 days of territory brawls, and 4 or 5 days of cooldown, causing a longer delay between the opportunities to get these rewards. And this was probably the biggest complaint, is you got the rewards based on what was supposed to be like 3 days worth of work. Now you're getting it for 6 days worth of work, but the rewards weren't up. Well, they took care of this a little. So first, they added new special missions in phase 1, 2, and 4. Each will provide an opportunity to earn more guild event tokens. Kind of like, what is that, phase 5? Where they have the special mission?
Now? You get them in... CLS...
Yeah, the CLS one in phase 5.
You get 10 for every guild member who completes them, the CLS mission in phase 5, and then you get 30 once you can complete the Rolo Cholo.
Yeah.
Which will still be very far off for everybody.
Yes, but essentially they're going to be putting a special mission in each phase. So in phase 1, it's requires 2-star Phoenix squad. Everyone should have that. Phase 2 requires a 3-star Rogue One squad. Everyone should have that.
Mm-hmm.
And phase 4 requires, and this one will take a little bit of work for most, is it requires a 5-star Commander Han and a Rolo. 5-star Rolo.
Yeah, so I don't see many completing that one right off the bat, if actually any at all.
Yeah, so I love this. I mean...
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You're just from these... You're going to be getting an extra, probably, 500 currency a week, or each territory battle.
At least from each one, if they did just a 10,
stuck with 10.
Yeah, that's 1,500 a territory battle. That's a nice bump.
And I like the if you want more rewards, you got to earn them.
Mm-hmm. So, second. They will be increasing the rewards, which we'll go over in a little bit. They made one more tweak. So further, they responded to the data and feedback that some of the Gear 11 finishers and Gear 12 salvage behind... They put some of the Gear 11 finishers and Gear 12 salvage behind key difficult events and late-game challenges. So that's going to be coming in the future. So essentially, they're going to have kind of special missions... It seems like where you can earn gear.
Yeah, and those finishers are like your Mark 9 eyeball looking things or your Mark 6 droid collars, that stuff. So
yeah, basically another way for you to get gear.
Yep. Yeah, so, we don't know what those events are yet, but I mean they're gonna. This is a good. The more they offer gear, the better and happier we all are because. Anything you can do. We know the gear grind's always going to exist. I mean, this game's kind of based on that, and I respect that, and I'm fine with it. But any little bit they can do to help, I think we all appreciate.
Yeah, because it's a lot of characters.
Yeah, and especially since they keep, they're only going to continue to introduce more characters. Yeah. With the movie rapidly approaching. I mean, we're under 3 months at this point, I think, right? So
yeah.
We're going to get – how many did they introduce from Rogue One?
They introduced a good, 10 or 12.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can imagine we're going to get at least that many over the next, 4 months for the new movie. So it's going to be just more – and they're all going to – most of them, I'm sure, are going to be really good. So
I'm hoping more
characters.
I'm hoping we see a lot more First Order this time.
I think we will. I really do think we will. There's some cool ones that we don't need to get into with this podcast, maybe the next one. But if you look at some of the toys that are coming out or some of the Funko bobbleheads, there's some really cool ones that have been kind of circulating on the internet of people's hypotheses on who we're going to get. So,
We're going to get the hamsters. What's the hamsters? What are they called? The new ones?
The Porgs?
Yeah, we're going to get those, right?
I don't know. I don't know. But I do want to... the only one that I will mention, there's a bunch of cool-looking ones, but there's a First Order Executioner, which looks boss, and I want it. I want him now.
let me look that up while you're talking real fast. Keep going.
Yeah.
So, all right. Oh, so we'll go on to what they actually changed with the rewards. So they kind of went into more detail. Four major points to this. One, they're going to be giving out more guild event tokens. So the payouts have increased across the board. This is taking into account both the special missions and the final guild event token payout. So you're basically just going to get more more currency overall.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at it, and for, let's say you get 45, or Dave, what did you guys get? How many stars did you guys get last time?
41.
41?
Yeah, I think it was 41 again.
Yeah, so you guys would actually get 6,800 currency.
I like that. Okay.
That's a nice bump. It was, 5,400?
I think it was like 5,400 or 5,800.
No, that's good. Well over. Yeah, that's good. That's a good bump.
One star, you get 2,500. So, even for the low-end guilds, you're still going to get...
It's still worth launching it and throwing a few things in there.
Yeah. Exactly. So, overall, that's great. A more frequent payout. So, what they're doing is, with the special mission structure, the payout will occur at the end of each phase. So, after phase one, you'll get the currency from that special mission. So you're going to be getting currency throughout the whole battle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a win-win in my book as well.
Yep.
Yeah, because you can kind of buy the gear and then, you know, place it as you go along with to help for later phases. So.
Yeah. So the third is going to be, there's going to be more in the mystery boxes. So they said they're slightly increasing the mystery box payouts for gear 12 salvage, so that all guilds getting 15 stars and above will continue to make steady progress towards gear 12, independent of how they spend their guild event tokens. So,
okay.
Essentially, they're just boosting the amount of gear or the amount of salvage you get.
Yeah, because I think what a lot of people did was last territory battle rewards, they're kind of sitting on their last reward as far as guild event tokens go, kind of trying to see what they were going to do. So, it's going to be nice knowing this now.
Yeah. So, you have that. And then lastly, they're going to be doing additional mystery boxes. So to further reward sustained territory battle participation for a broader array of players, they added some mystery box payouts of difficult gear salvage below gear 12 to the rewards. So now all guilds who finish with 6 stars will receive mystery box rewards of some of the toughest high-end salvage in the game below gear 12. So essentially, that was a lot. So, essentially, before, you didn't get any gear until you hit 15 stars. So, now, between 6 and 14 stars, you're going to be getting some high-end gear, 11 gear.
That's great. That helps. That helps a lot out with some of the smaller guilds out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, those are all the reward changes. What do you guys think? I doubt you guys have bad things to say about this.
No. Only one, which is, it's, nitpicky. This is awesome. I think increasing the rewards is certainly necessary, especially when you consider the fact that, at the end of the day, they thought we were going to be doing these more frequently than we'll end up doing them. So you do have to increase rewards because it's just, the timeline that they thought as far as how quickly people would accumulate this gear has shifted. So it's important to buff that. I think adding in gear to get to gear 12 is really, really helpful, again, to the point we made earlier about just the gear grind being atrocious, for lack of a better term. And that's great. They've added pretty much most of, if not all of, there's one key piece that I will mention in a second that is not included, but they have pretty much all of the gear that you had gotten from the prior two other raids. So you can now get gear that you would get in the Rancor raid, you can get gear that you would get in the HAT raid, and just continue to, you know, farm up, continue, you know, give you another avenue to farm this gear and to be able to, you know, help gear your characters that are below, you know, gear 12 that are going to need to still obviously continue to have pieces at. My only gripe is that, believe it or not, what is the one thing, the one piece that holds everybody back all the time in this game?
Credits.
Stun gun.
No, it is not the stun gun. It's not credits.
Credits it's hold everyone back.
They do. Well, yeah, but they've given us a lot of credits. The one thing, in my opinion, that still holds everybody back is that stupid Carbonte. And they did not add Carbontes to the prize box. So literally every single piece is added. Every single piece of value has been added. But they did not add the Mark III Carbontes, the ones that you need to basically build every piece of gear in the game. And they did not add those. So they probably did that, obviously, purposefully, because they apparently never want us to be able to get more Carbontes than we're already getting. But other than that, other than the fact that we still won't have more Carbontes, I think these changes are awesome. I think CG stepped up big time with this update in total. You know, cool new character, really good changes that they've made, and obviously, you know, upping the rewards and stuff like that, that's great. So you know, the only complaint I have is it would have been nice to have Carbontes, but I guess, you know, beggars can't be choosers. So, you know, thumbs up from me.
Now kind of while we're on this subject a little bit, a weird thought popped in my head. How much gear have you added any gear that's past gear 12? Like, you're on gear 12. Have you added any of those pieces yet?
Nope. Not a one.
Dave?
I built the med pack piece, the 6,200 health piece, and I gave it to Luke.
Have you seen a difference, really?
Well, it adds 6,000 health. I mean, I wasn't really. I did it because I want to finish Luke. So, like, I'm actively going to farm his other two pieces and just finish him, because I enjoyed the fact that I had finished characters before, and now I have no finished characters, so I feel like I need at least one. But so that was just the first piece that I worked on. I mean, I haven't really noticed a tremendous amount of difference, because he can constantly regen himself anyway. It was just the first piece that I farmed. I do think the other pieces are going to make a big difference, especially that piece that gives like 10% potency and 10% tenacity, and then gives 5% health steal. I think that piece for a lot of characters is going to be monster, because especially for a character like Luke, when he goes a lot and he counters, you know, that health steal is awesome.
Yeah. Now, speaking of that piece, it's the Mark 12 Armatech Multi-Tool, and I've recently put it on Death Trooper, because he already has a very high health steal, and adding 5% to that is just going to make it even higher. He needs potency, and he needs physical damage. So I added it to him, and I've already started to notice a big difference in his survivability and inflicting days. So I just want to kind of put that out there. I haven't heard a lot of talk about how much difference the Gear 12 has made so far.
Yeah.
So.
No, I think that's a good point. You're right. I mean, it's going to make it's going to make a really, really big difference, especially for a lot of certain characters. I mean, in some instances, if you go through the numbers, you know, you're adding several hundred physical damage to certain characters, and you're adding a significant amount of health to certain characters. So this gear is super valuable, and all the more, you know, thank you to CG to, you know, adding in additional tokens so that people can actually be able to get this gear with some level of speed. So,
yeah, I just wanted to put that out there that these pieces past gear 12, they are worth getting. So,
yep, yeah. Absolutely.
I will get them eventually. I'm actually farming bays. I'm doing that.
That's important for your guild. You have to have Rogue One.
And he's going to be in my arena team. So. And his grind has been 10 times easier with him being in the Galactic War shipment. So I've been doing that. I know I'm going to be putting myself behind, but it's something I've wanted to do for a while. So
You're always behind on something in this game. Yeah. It's just everybody's thing they're behind on is different.
And to another point, Baze is not in Galactic War. He's in the Guild Event Shop.
Guild, you know what I mean. You know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I just want to make sure no one got confused.
So in there, and then I buy him with crystals in the shipments, and then I run his node 5 times.
Yep.
So, like, I get 3 to 5 shards a day, generally. So, okay. it's going pretty quick, actually.
Good.
Yeah.
So then there are a couple of other changes they made, and these are actually probably the biggest game changers. Like, territory battle changes they made. So they're both changes to platoons.
Woohoo!
Yes! So the first one, we have made an immediate change to platoon missions that address too much duplication of the same units. Cough, cough, 15 Lobots. this should ensure a more random role in every platoon. I'm sorry, but like the most required characters to have in platoons were Lobot, Pow, Baze. So two characters no one got or gave two shits about. And Baze, who everyone, if they had him, had a team built around him.
Yeah.
So you were either crippling your team or you weren't finishing a platoon.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love it.
Smart. It's the way it should be. It should celebrate diversity of rosters, but not, you know,
hinder.
Be obnoxious about the fact that, like, all right, you're gonna need 47 Lobots. Like, that's crazy. And like, it's definitely this, they did that by design. They got bad feedback and they've changed it. Like, it's not like there was some algorithm issue that was just spitting out too many Lobots. Like, they wanted there to be too many Lobots, and now people were like, this is kind of bullshit, and they're saying, okay, we'll fix it. Like, this is typically how they've responded to the community. And you know, it's just good to see them make this change, because it definitely has hindered a lot of guilds' ability to do well on certain phases, because they just can't possibly complete the platoon missions. And hopefully this will allow more guilds to complete the platoon missions, which gives them very valuable bonuses, which should hopefully lead to them getting more stars. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, perfect example, the guild I'm in, Dathomir, last territory battle in phase 5. We were only able to go 2 of 6 in the platoons. And it was solely because of Lobots.
Mm-hmm.
Solely. Like, we would have gone 4 or 6 of 6 in platoons if it wasn't just single-handedly for Lobots.
Yeah.
I
agree.
I hate it. So, this next part, though, this one is actually, I like this change better than the first one. So, yep. The platoon missions should also no longer require specific units that are required in combat mission or special missions inside the same base or territory battle. So, for example, Phoenix Squad is now required for the new special mission in Phase 1, so they will not be required to be in platoons in that phase. Same goes for Rogue One squads or the Hoth Rebel Soldier, Scout, Captain Han, all of them. So if you have a mission that requires a character, they will not be in platoons, so you don't have to choose between the two.
Which is a huge relief mm-hmm. off everyone's back.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. As soon as I saw that, it's something I never really thought about. It's like one of those changes, like, I didn't think about, but I'm, like, so glad it's out there now.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, the Phoenix thing was amazing, because I think, Dave, me and you were in Rebel Force Yavin right now, and we saw that, holy crap, this platoon mission needs Hera and Ezra. So someone out there is going to go without a Hera, and someone out there is going to go out without an Ezra, which either one of those two in your Phoenix squad, without them, it's going to fall apart.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Yeah, this is smart on their end. This is obviously something that should have been the case when it launched, but it wasn't, and they fixed it rather quickly. We're only 2 territory battles in, and they've already addressed it. So that I think that's a nice response from CG here, and I think it's, again, another thing that will help more guilds do better in territory battles and just feel better about themselves because they're not hamstrung by some stupid rule that was holding them back that didn't make any sense in the first place. So this is great, and now we don't need to worry about anybody trying to do a Phoenix squad without Hera. And we don't need to worry about, you know, anybody having to try to do their, you know, Rogue One when you got to, you know, have people put in bases and Chirruts and, you know, Jinns, which, you know, the team falls apart. That team falls apart, too, without those characters. So this is a very welcome change. And, you know, I like that they responded to this as quickly as they did.
Yeah, it was great. So that's all the actual physical changes that they did to territory battles. It was a lot that they changed. Yep. So, and there's still more to come. So, like, at the end, they had a section for guild officer tools and investment time. So they essentially said that they realize that guild officers and leaders are spending way too much time dealing with territory battles. And they're working on things to create time saving, like stuff to save time for them to do all this, whether it's implementing stuff into the game or however I can't even imagine. They probably think of stuff we can't even comprehend to help us guide our guild during territory battles, which is the best news out of everything as somebody who runs territory battles for a guild.
Yeah, no. Putting this out there for any CG that might be listening, a way to track tickets in the game that each member earns individually, a way to track those day by day would be fantastic to have. It would help everybody out so much.
Yeah, it's the tickets thing has been for everything. Like, just being able to track what people have done, whether it's in territory battles or tickets for the 600 a day, is just so needed and would save so much time. We wouldn't have to spend 20 minutes every day figuring out who got tickets. Or for territory battles, you have to wouldn't enter in waves completed just to see who actually completed it and who participated in it.
Mm-hmm.
They
relied way too much on other people creating things to help guilds do the things they need to, without actually implementing or giving these tools to everybody themselves, you know, whether it be from the fact that everybody has to use like something like Discord to communicate, or that everybody has to go and use, you know, Excel or Google Sheets to create spreadsheets to help track tickets and participation and stuff like that. Like these are, you know, basic things that they should have. I understand that, you know, certainly they're not the largest team in the world and they haven't had the opportunity to get there, but I'm glad that they're going to address it. And certainly for people like you, Ednar, who have put in a ton of time, you know, running something like this, and I've run, you know, I've led up guilds before too. It is a lot of time and effort, and you know, hopefully this stuff comes sooner rather than later, though.
Yeah, which at the same time, you know, I kind of see where they're at, is that they're a small team at the time, is that I don't think they expected this game to stay this big for this long, and this game is great. I'm glad I'm supporting it every way I can. It's a great game, but I just don't think they realized that it would be this big.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised that they're all very surprised. They shouldn't be though. I mean, I think it's a pretty simple model when you think about what the game is actually. But it's Star Wars, so people are gonna love it. If it's good. You know, it doesn't even have to be great, but if it's good, people are going to eat it up just because it's Star Wars. I mean, with the first Battlefront, like that game probably wasn't that great, but it was good, but it wasn't great.
Yeah,
right. But people like, you know, that sold like 14 million copies and everybody was playing it like crazy when it first launched. So, you know, I think I'm glad that they're going to invest some more time now into giving people the tools to help do this stuff. But what this does tell me, and I think all of these, you know, continuous updates tell me, is this game is healthy and isn't going anywhere for a long time. And I think that makes us all happy, right? Because we still all enjoy it and have a good time playing.
So. I do get annoyed by all the light side stuff going on right now, but deep down, I do love everything about this game right now.
No. All right, so to counter what you just said, Coleman, is yes, we have a lot of light side, but to get the new light side, you have to farm dark. So it's requiring you right now to get dark side.
Yeah. I just want more characters for Darkseid. I'm missing a lot of my some of my favorites.
They're coming. You know we're gonna get Hux. We're gonna get
Snoke.
Snoke for sure. We're gonna get the new the Praetorian Guard. We're gonna get
Inferno. I'm sure, from Inferno.
That's my biggest thing right now. I want Inferno Squad. I'm willing to open up my wallet and say, take my money for Inferno Squad.
You know who they really need.
So it's coming. I bet that launches with the game in November.
I hope.
They really need Hondo.
Oh, this is where we have to
end the podcast. Yeah, this is where we just have to move on to the next subject now. So.
Okay. All right, so there's one last thing we wanted to talk about, and that's the one black mark on today. All the great stuff that they introduced today, there has been one black mark where it can be easily remedied, and if we just got some explanation from CG, and that is the 20,000 crystals sent to people who purchased Captain Han Solo shards. Now, what I mean by that is, not everyone is getting... So they're giving 20,000 crystals to people who bought the Commander Han shards, who got him up to 7 stars back when 7-star Captain Han was required. But not everyone's got them. Not everyone spent that much money to get it. Like, I know somebody who spent $50 and got 20,000 crystals. So... like, and there's no explanation, and people who have paid money for it, like, I spent $100 on crystals during that time frame. I didn't get anything.
I would like an explanation for why this is happening and what's the thing behind it, but also it's that it's not coming from, well, it's coming from CG Games, but it's their customer support center more than anything, so I think it's more of an, this needs to be more of an EA message than anything.
Yeah, I mean, if there was if everyone on Reddit who got this was like, "Oh yeah, I have a 7-star Captain Han Solo. I dumped a crap load of money and they gave me 20,000 crystals." Then that's fine. But people who got him up to 5 stars are getting 20,000 crystal refunds. People who didn't even get him up to 5 stars are getting 20,000 crystal refunds. So like there's no consistency. And there's no explanation, and people are like, what is going on here?
Yeah, and they've also never really done something like this before. Like this isn't the first time that they changed something or, you know, updated something that maybe null and voided something that somebody had purchased or done. And we've never seen any type of reparation to this standpoint, right? Yeah. I mean, this is above and beyond anything they've done before, and it's just surprising that they haven't addressed what it's for, because you know certainly anybody that got 20K crystals wasn't upset by it, like you know, that's great, you know, that's awesome.
I was jumping up and down. I was like, I had to take 2 looks. I was on the treadmill looking at it. I was like, what?
Yeah.
What did I just get?
Yeah. That's
awesome. This right?
And I'm sure you'll put those to terrible use on Darkseid characters, but...
Hey, I'm going to gear 12 Kylo Ren with it, okay?
No, I love Kylo. He's great. He's
amazing.
So good. It's like 2 steps forward, 2 steps back sometimes with these guys, because they do a bunch of good stuff and then they just, you know, do something else where they don't say anything and no one understands why they've made a change or done this. So hopefully they address it. I'm sure they'll address it tomorrow and tell everybody why these 20K crystals have gone out. That I'm sure there's still going to be angry people on Reddit and the forums, because
there always are.
That's where angry people hang out apparently. But
Now, I'm in no way or shape against this 20K thing. I'm happy with it. I'm just miffed that there's no explanation. I want an explanation.
Yeah. Totally. I think they deserve, everybody deserves that, those that are got it and those that didn't, just so that they know why. But they also then need to recognize that this is something they're going to have to do more frequently for, you know, screw-ups, because it definitely can't be like a one-time thing, because this isn't going to be if this is how they're going to start to – if this type of, you know, repayment on, you know – expenditures on things that then were maybe made, you know, again, null and void by some changes they've made, they're going to have some level of consistency going forward. So, you know, that's exciting knowing that, you know, maybe what CG is recognizing is if they do make mistakes, they need to make good on them a little bit more maybe than they have in the past. So, you know, if that's what happens in the future, that's a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. Anything else, Ednar?
I don't think I really have anything else.
I had one thing that I wanted to bring up and get your guys' opinions on it. So at the very end of the update notes.
Oh yes, I forgot about this. My favorite part.
The what's ahead, right? And they typically tease something here, and it's
vague,
but sometimes they're, you know, guessable. Like they've definitely done things in the past where you've been like, oh, that meant that. They're definitely bringing R2 or something.
I think by hands down the said, wrong a team, one.
Yeah, a team rises from the ashes stronger as a familiar foe returns. So, it obviously they say familiar foe. So I'm assuming this is a dark side character, and they're saying a team rises from the ashes stronger. So, you know, I'm thinking this might be our first new First Order character, but I'm not quite sure who it is. But it could also be, since familiar foe, like, is First Order really familiar to us right now still? I mean, there's only been one movie. Is it an Empire character that we, you know, hadn't necessarily thought of that might be coming to the game? Or, and this is what I really think it is, I think it's the Grievous rework. And the only reason why I say that is I think a team rises from the ashes, a team that used to be good is droids. They're not anymore. And a familiar foe, Grievous would make sense because he's familiar. He's been in the game for a long time, but he hasn't been good for quite some time. So, you know, my guess is Grievous, but I think it could also be First Order. It could totally be Empire. But it's definitely a dark side character, and it's definitely somebody who it sounds like is going to make a team that used to be viable and strong in the game viable again.
Okay, I will ask one. I will ask one question to both of you.
Mm-hmm.
What animal mythically rises from the ashes? Any guesses?
Oh yeah, Phoenix.
Phoenixes do. I think it's going to be the Thrawn event.
Oh, that's really smart.
So I think it's going to be a Thrawn event with the Phoenix rework where they get Zetas.
I'll agree with that. And
everything I said, that is definitely
the real reason I think this is coming around now, though, is because the season 4 of Rebels is around the corner.
Yep. It starts next month, right?
Yeah, and they just went through a really bad loss. Sorry, spoiler alert. So, spoiler alert here. I apologize. But they went through a really bad loss at the hands of Thrawn. Mm-hmm. So, from the ashes, they're going to become stronger. So, you're right, and I think they're going to get their Zetas finally. Hopefully, it's on their uniques, but I really doubt it. Maybe Hera will have a Zeta on her unique or her leader ability that binds them all together. But I think, yeah, that's definitely it. With season 4 coming out and they're coming back from a defeat, they'll be stronger than ever.
And they'll probably introduce one or two new Rebel characters, I would think.
Well, of course. I mean, this is Star Wars Galaxy of Rebels.
You know who was on the Rebels cartoon show?
Hondo?
Yes.
Yeah. It was Hondo. Yeah.
It's totally going to be Hondo.
Do you know who else was on the show, though? Child Luke.
Yeah, well, so is Lightside Tarkin.
Yeah, that's Galactic Republic, though.
Close.
That's enough. Clone Wars.
Oh, that was Clone Wars? Not Republic? Yeah. Oh, okay. Never mind, then. I'm like, I remember seeing Lightside Tarkin.
Yeah, that was Galactic Republic, so that was in the Clone Wars TV series, not Rebels.
You could have Old Man Rex.
Yeah, you could. I could see Old Man Rex being part of Phoenix, so...
And what's the guy who everyone thought if the new Fulcrum?
Agent Kallus?
Yeah. He could be one that they bring into the game because everyone thought it was him when it turned out to be Fulcrum Ahsoka.
Yeah, but you see, I think they're going to hold off until after season 4 to kind of determine what they're going to do with him.
Well, nothing because this is the last season.
I know, but I'm saying like. Sorry, spoiler alert. I would have just clicked over this section. It's huge in spoilers. But he was Empire. Now he's the Rebellion. So I think you have to wait and see what he does with the Rebellion or to make his character properly.
They could make semi-old Ben. Middle-aged
crisis Ben.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, we'll have an influx of Kenobis, so why not?
Yeah, I mean,
we're gonna get middle-aged Crisis Ben in a movie at some point soon.
Oh yeah, so. Just like I wish we would have 5 Anakin Skywalkers too, but I doubt that'll ever happen.
This is one thing I actually saw on Discord and would be awesome. Is do you remember that in Rebels that spider like admiral for the Empire?
Oh, yeah.
He would be fun to have. I can't remember his name, but... Or the one Jedi who, like, openly tried killing all the clones. Because he just didn't like clones. So he just sent them to his death.
Yeah, we did just talk about him. What was his name in Clone Wars?
But yeah, he was a Jedi, and, like, Rex tried to shoot him, and... So... All right, we're going off on a tangent about Star Wars Rebels characters.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen eventually.
Happens.
Honestly, they'll probably introduce one or two new characters from the Rebels cartoon show, and then they'll start concentrating on Darkseid. And then they'll introduce the characters from the movie, characters from the video game, and then I'm thinking sometime around February is when they introduce Darkseid Territory Battles.
And Hondo.
No, yeah. Screw that. I want Hondo before that.
No. Maybe.
Oh. Christmas present.
He might be one of the Phoenix ones. One of the Rebel ones that they introduce at some point, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't even have to be he can fit into the Scoundrels. Like,
yeah.
Give him a lead, put him on Scoundrels.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Scoundrels. We still
make them
need
viable.
Django,
so. Yeah, still need Django. You could
I guess it would be Separatist, right? Probably not Scoundrel, but still.
No, he would have the Bounty Hunter Separatist tag,
He would definitely have the, Bounty Hunter for sure, yeah.
I'm just trying to think who else from Rebels is big enough for something.
Now, from the previews, we're going to get a new Bounty Hunter. As well, that I don't know who he is yet.
Well, Embo, you have Embo too.
Yeah,
I mean he's already in game
as an NPC.
Yeah,
And they've mentioned before to never look too much into that.
But at the same time, I've got a lot of the characters they put in, like a lot of the side characters, come from those NPCs. I've noticed.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for Scout Trooper, so whenever
I'm right there with you.
Whenever they feel like introducing Scout Trooper, please somebody tell me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I mean, young creepy Lando. He was in Rebels.
We're still a year out from all of that and another Han. We'll finally 5 Hans.
Well, no, the young Lando from Rebels cartoon. Yeah. They could bring in.
Well, I was thinking the version we'll see in the Han Solo movie at some point.
Yeah, I was even thinking maybe we could introduce some more Darth Mauls.
Maybe.
Well, you have to have a Darth Maul that has no legs.
Mm-hmm. Where he has to have spider legs.
Yeah. I mean, heck, you can even go Saul Guerrera. We don't have him in the game.
Yeah.
And he's...
I think... Now, to anyone who has read the, I guess, the Inferno Squad Battlefront 2 book, that'd be kind of the place for, I think, Saw to possibly pop in, along with the Partisans.
Yeah. Yeah, he could. I think he's going to show up in the game.
Yeah, he will.
He's big enough. So... I'm just trying to think. I'm actually looking on their IMDb. You have the Inquisitors. People really wanted the Inquisitor.
Yeah. They're like the Grand Inquisitor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just so many that they could...
I know. I think by far, though, the number one most requested character is Revan.
Or Hondo.
You can't deny what people want, man. And people just want Revan.
Yeah, I can see Revan. But they had their chance with Revan.
They still have a chance with Revan, though.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they can introduce anybody they want.
Yeah, they've already said repeatedly that they can release whoever they want across all eras, so.
Yeah.
Still...
So,
as far as closing notes, anything?
Yes, actually. I'm going to... I have two shout-outs I want to give out. One is to somebody in our guild. Canalos? I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. Canalos has been... She is one of the people who's been writing all these bots and all these spreadsheets and Google Docs that our guild is using to help with territory battles, and they have been lifesavers. We still put in a lot of time, but we would be putting in way more time if we didn't have these. So I want to give a shout out to her for all the hard work she's put in getting all this set up. So thank you very much. And then I want to also throw another shout out to one of my guildmates, Mole Carr, who beat Mitt or Coleman in fantasy football this week. I applaud you. Thank you very much for beating him.
Yeah, I actually had to tell Ednar about that one, so I knew it was coming.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in the same league as you because I'm in the cooler league. So
well, at least now you know I'm being honest about who's beating me. So,
but yeah, that's all I got. Coleman, you got anything before we head out?
Just one thing that really I want to see happen, and that's CG. If you're listening at all, and if you're going to introduce Inferno Squad, please make them good. Please don't make them like, okay, I can get them, and I'm never going to use them again. Please give them like a decent kit that I can use in arena.
Right. So don't have them be like Gar Saxon or
yeah.
Imperial Commando.
Don't Ewok the hell out of them.
Yeah. Because who would gear those characters?
No,
right?
Me. I would. Why? So I have a Gear 12 Gar Saxon.
I know you do. That's just me. I know you do.
But the way they're building this team up is that they play a big, big role in the in-betweens of Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. So I feel like they should play a pretty big role, like or have decent kits inside this game as well.
Okay, and I'm sure they will.
That's my biggest concern. That's my biggest hope. So, because I'm already from reading the books and watching the videos, I'm already starting to be a big fan of this team. So,
okay. So, Dave, any closing remarks?
I need to go to bed.
Yes, you do. Yeah, I feel so bad that I'm in a
other than that, no, I'm looking forward to all these changes. I'm now I can't I totally missed the whole Phoenix thing there. So I'm glad that that's the case, because now I can finally 7-star Thrawn. So that'll be exciting. And I'm looking forward to going to bed. So that's all I have at this point.
Okay. Well, with that, thank you for joining us for our 8th episode of Rebel Force Alliance podcast. If you have any questions or you would like us to answer, please email us at rebelforcealliancepodcast.com or gmail.com. I actually got 2 questions this past week, but they were about the spreadsheet that they wanted. But send them. I do answer them. You can also reach out to us on our Twitter page at RFA Podcast. As always, any iTunes reviews would be much appreciated. And until next time, let the speculation begin on who's coming next. Have a good one.
Squad.